Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is a rerun, boys and girls. Don't bother to call. There's no one here to answer. Besides, Gail and I aren't here. We're off playing. Just listen and enjoy.
From Black Powder Headquarters.
I'm going to talk over myself. Welcome to the program, everyone. This is O'Neill on an unused Saturday morning, trying to coordinate the time between such an array of stations listening to us all across the country. This is O'Neill on an unused Saturday. And on WSB AM across the eastern United States, you can hear us live on Saturday mornings along with the SB Nation Radio Network. So tune us in if you can and participate in the program. Should you like to do that, it's 6 after the hour. It's going to be a beautiful weekend. The telephone numbers, should you like to participate, are 404-872-0750 or outside the Atlanta calling area 800-972-8255. From Seattle to LA to Maine to Florida and throughout Texas and the Midwest, it's the SB Nation along with WSB. It's 7 minutes after the hour, and we'd love to hear from you this morning. We do have the Medal of Honor tribute coming up later on this hour, and of course your call. So there you are. We hope you'll give us a ring. A couple of self-promotion. Excuse me. Be sure and visit O'Neill Outside. Bottom of the homepage, right there at the bottom, is an Alaskan cruise. We're putting that together for the summer of 2020. Don't delay. Call and book now. You can cancel later. Alaskan cruise out of Seattle up through the Lynn Canal and returning to Seattle in the month of June of 2020. Make your reservations now. A lot of people are, and you need to get a balcony room. This boat, the Princess, is made for going to Alaska. It's got windows. It's all glass. But you need to get a balcony room, and you need to reserve it now. Gail and I have been on that cruise a couple of times in years past, and it is the most spectacular viewing, the most spectacular cruise, one of the most spectacular adventures ever. And I want you to come along with us. It's not a profit margin for O'Neill. It's not, okay? I'd just like for you to go and experience with that with us. We have a balance of an hour of O'Neill Outside Outdoors when we return. This is O'Neill. You guys stay right there.
A pair of jeans that fit just
12
right.
After the hour, welcome. You're listening to O'Neill Outside, the number one live outdoor-based radio talk show in the world. And we have a lot of calls. We want to finish up a call properly, if we can, with Philip calling from Blairsville, Georgia, who has trouble catching trout. Well, what do you think now? Have you figured it out? Or is that why you're calling me?
I'm still working on it, O'Neill. I'm still
okay.
Working on it.
Other than the hot water, now, the only thing I might mention, and this may have an application, years ago, I went fishing with a fisheries biologist. I don't remember his name. I should, but this was like 20 years ago. Fisheries biologist for the University of Georgia. And he said to me, and I've always remember this, that in small lakes and ponds, that in the summertime, in hot weather, you would think you would fish deep where the water is cooler, wouldn't you?
That's been my action so far.
Okay. He tells me, or told me, and I've always remembered this, that in ponds that maybe don't have a great water flow, they're ponds with a little creek going in it, that there's no oxygen deep in the deep water. You have to fish shallow. And if the trout that you're fishing for aren't shallow, then down in the deep water, they're not feeling too hot. There's not any oxygen down there for them to remain alive. So you might be fishing too deep. And I'm guessing 100%.
But I'm going to change the tactics up and keep working it back across, like I said, the trout fishing in the rivers and streams, unless I'm going up in altitude to my smaller streams, it's starting to slow down for the summer. So I got to find somewhere to fish.
Yeah, that's that increase in water temperature, I guess. I know that my favorite trout stream is the Soquel River at Black Hawk Fly Fishing. And during the hot summertime in late July and August, they close the stream because the water temperature gets too warm. How about that?
I'm going to continue to work them, and if all else fails, I'll go to Lake Notley and go bourbon catfishing.
Beautiful lake. Thanks for calling, Philip.
You have a wonderful day, O'Neill.
You bet. You too. Call more often. Great question. Oh, here's our old buddy Matt Farr calling about the Ram Fishing Report. Good morning, Matt. What do you say?
Good morning, O'Neill. How are you?
Good. You headed for the pond today?
Like we're going to get out there a little while, yes.
Good for you. Good for you.
See if we can catch a few fish. It's been really good. Mm-hmm. Here, everywhere else in the southeast, the striper bite, summer bite's just full on. You know, we've talked about this many times. This surprises people, but this, I think, is the best time of year to catch a striped bass.
Oh, yeah, I remember. I remember you telling me that so long ago. And we did some summertime shows, too, at Lake Lanier in July and August that were very successful.
Yeah, and that's going on now. The fish and people ask me why. Well, it's so hot, they won't eat. And they got to eat. But they pile up in deep water. They get in really nice bunches, really gang up. Mm-hmm. And in theory, most lakes will move to the lower end of the lake seeking good water quality. And by that, I'm talking about just quality. I'm talking about oxygen levels. Not don't misinterpret that. But so you got more fish and less water. And when you find them, they'll usually bite. And that's what's happening on Lanier and other southeastern lakes. Fish are piled up on the lower end. Man, you might have to look for them. Once you find them, they'll bite. So it's a downline bite, live herring on a downline. We've got some catch some fish with an umbrella. And power reeling are all really good techniques right now. So I would urge you to go fishing this week and in the next 10 or 12, for that matter.
Absolutely. That power reeling that you taught me 10 years or so ago, that's a real surprise.
Yep, that's for those that aren't familiar with it, that's just where we find fish on the sonar in deep water. However deep the fish are, let's say they're 60. You drop your bait 10, 20 feet below them and then reel the bait at a pretty good pace back up through them. Say you drop your bait to 80 and reel it back up to 40. If you don't get a bite, you take your reel out of gear and keep doing that up and down. It's not jigging a spoon. It's moving it constantly up and down. Mm-hmm. And that draws a reaction bite. And you think about it, everything we do, almost every presentation we make in deep water is either stationary or it's on a a flat plane. When you're fishing up and down, that vertical presentation is something they don't see, and it triggers a reaction because the bait's moving pretty quick. So he's watching it go by. He's got to either eat it or let it go. He's got to make that decision quickly.
And two, I was surprised, and I'll let you comment on the size of that spoon.
Yes, we use a lot of big spoons. We use several baits, jigs, large bucktails. But one of the big things now are these big magnum spoons are 8 inches long. And people get intimidated when they see them. Say, oh, my gosh, that's too big. Well, they won't bite it. They won't be able to catch them. But really, if you put it in perspective, an 8-inch spoon is not much bigger. If you laid it down and laid a herring beside it, some of the bigger herring will be 6 or 7 inches.
Yes.
We don't think anything in the spring about fishing with a big gizzard shad or a big trout that may be 15 or 16 inches. So if you put it in perspective, it's bigger than a lot of lures. As far as what the fish eat, it's not that big.
Yeah, there you go. Great advice, Matt. Great advice. And how shall people be in touch with you so that they can avail themselves of a fishing trip with Mac this summer?
Oh, they can call us at 770-271-0851, or you can find us online at Captain Mac, CaptainMacks.com, and you can also see on our Facebook page, the extended version of the Hayes Ram Fishing Report we just went over.
You bet. Glad you called, Matt. Good luck to you today. I know you're going to take a party out, and you'll really catch them.
Well, thank you. Everybody get out of the lake. Be safe. And happy 4th of July week. And I hope everybody gets a couple extra days this week to get outside and enjoy the outdoors.
You bet. Thank you for calling, Mac.
Yes, sir.
You bet. See you soon, pal. There you are. And it's 18:19 after the hour. We've got time for this one, I think. Let's talk to Billy. He's calling from Jonesboro, Georgia, on O'Neill Outside. You're on the radio, Billy. I think. Good morning, Billy. Did I lose Billy? I might have. We'll put, evidently Billy got in a different zone there. Call back, Billy. I'd love to answer your question. It's 19 and a half after the hour. It's summertime. It's time for you to fish like it's summertime. A great demonstration there from Matt Farr about deep stripers at reservoirs all over the Southeast. A little lesson from a biologist from the University of Georgia about fishing ponds, and some advice in the first hour about hog control. We did that too, and I'm going to mention it right now again. Hogs are not indigenous to the United States. They were brought over by the Spanish, a few decades ago. And they are not indigenous. They are extremely destructive. They are not pets. Shoot them. Kill them. The white-tailed deer are afraid of them. The wild turkeys are afraid of them. And the effective way, besides hunting, don't stop hunting, but the effective way to take out your population of wild hogs, and we've got them up here in the mountains in North Georgia, they're coming back fast, is to professionally trap them. Find out all about it on the internet. I went this week with the Department of Natural Resources to the Dylane Wildlife Management Area in South Georgia below Augusta, and they, DNR, it's almost a full-time job just taking care of and eliminating the hogs on the Dylane, which is 8,000 acres, and the neighbor farms around, which amounts to 40,000 acres in combination. And since 2011, when there were no hogs there, they're covered up with hogs now, and they have killed over 1,000 in the last 6 years. It's not a problem to be trifled with. You need to concentrate on that if you're a landholder or leaseholder. This is O'Neill with O'Neill Outside. 404-872-0750, 800-972-8255. Twenty-five after the hour, you're listening to O'Neill Outside. We have a lot of calls. We want to get to every one of them. Holding on the longest right now is our good friend Hank the Yank. Good morning, Hank the Yank. What do you say, pal?
Happy birthday, America.
Yes, indeed. Greatest place on earth.
Yeah. So let me ask you.
Okay.
I'm just curious because, you know, you've got a lot more age on me than, you know, as far as how old I am versus how old you are.
Yes.
So when they signed the Declaration of Independence, were you around that? Were you like there? Were you close?
I couldn't quite make it. I was fishing that day.
Oh, I figured. You know, you know, you're like Methuselah, you know?
I was, they invited me, but I said, oh, you guys go ahead and handle it. I understand. but I was fishing that day.
You were out with the DNR while they were signing the thing. Oh, my gosh. You know, we don't give enough credit to our DNR. You know, I know you and I love our DNR.
Yes.
But I just had I was on the phone yesterday getting a great lesson from Jeff Derniak, who's the who's in charge of DNR up here in Gainesville and really has a lot to do with our fisheries. And so I'm as you know, I'm in the midst of writing this book on striped bass in freshwater. Mm-hmm. And I just wanted to know how it all started. And I had a reasonable idea, but Jeff really, you know, dotted the I's and crossed the T's and talked about, you know, how neighboring states, which I didn't even realize how they share information, how we here in Georgia share information with Tennessee and Alabama and Virginia. So if somebody finds a win in, let's say, striped bass management, they share it amongst the rest of the states here in the South so that we can all prosper. I had no idea that was done.
Oh, yeah. They are scientists.
They are scientists. And so it's really interesting just how this whole thing came about and how it continues to prosper. But anyway, I'm sitting here waiting for Dunkin' Donuts to open in a minute because I'm getting ready to get some breakfast before I head down to the flats of the Chattahoochee River for some carp this morning.
Oh, boy.
We're going carping.
You have created a fishery.
Well, I don't know if I've created a fishery, but certainly the carp. You know what I love about our Chattahoochee carp, and I know this is going to sound, for people that hunt, they may not like this. The Chattahoochee down in Roswell, which is the area called Bull Sluice, which is where I do all my guiding in the summer for carp, is National Park Service protected. So you cannot bow hunt for carp down there.
Good.
So it is protected. The way you could, let's say, up on Lanier, on the upper breaches of Lanier or in Hartwell or in a lot of other areas in Georgia, you cannot bow hunt for carp in the area of Bull Sluice, which is all protected. So we've just got a ton of carp down there. I will tell you, they are hard, they are wily, they are smart. If you don't like a challenge, if you want to go fishing and absolutely positively get a bend in your rod, then carp fishing may not be for you on a fly. It's really difficult. It's almost like trying to feed a permit.
I've always enjoyed it adds to the excitement if you cast to a fish you can see.
Oh, yeah. That's the beauty. That's what gets me so, you know, Neil, you know how much I love striper fishing. Mm-hmm. And on a fly rod, I can't wait. When April rolls around, I start waxing the little skiff to take out of the garage because I'm so excited that the next 3-4 months I'm going to be pulling around the flats for carp. And the way we do it is we do it the same way you see guys red fishing in the backcountry or bone fishing down in the Florida Keys, where we're actually getting on a little skiff and pulling folks around in 8 to 12 inches of water. And what you see, we've got bald eagles down there now, and we've got snowy egrets down there, and all sorts of wildlife. It's just, you know Cephas McCray. I took Cephas down there a few years ago, and he was blown away. He said to me, he goes, Henry, you'd think you're back somewhere in the Everglades. He goes, I didn't even know this stuff existed down here. Mm-hmm. It's just so beautiful, and here we are, right in the middle of Atlanta, you know, in the middle of 6-7 million people, and we've got this area that just is so remote down on the river that it's just wonderful. We're really, really fortunate to have that, and we're fortunate a lot of this stuff was created and continues to prosper because of our DNR.
Yes.
And the work they do. So anyway, that's what's happening. The bass fishing on Lanier has gotten, I keep hearing from a lot of guys the topwater bite is as good as it's been all year long right now on spotted bass, hitting, walk the dog baits and chug bugs and whatnot. Sunny days, obviously, puts them a little deeper than the cloudy days. Today we're going to get some clouds, so a little cloud cover as the day wears on. So it'll probably be a good day to go out on the lake and topwater fish as well, if that's something you want to do.
Let me comment about that the mistake people make is that they're topwater fishing for spotted bass, but they're fishing in 6 feet of water.
Yeah, they're on the bank. Most people, you see a lot of people fishing on the bank, and you're 100% right. Right now, this time of year, you need to find the brush piles, and you need to find the brush piles that are on humps that are between 20 and 25 feet down. And I will tell you, this is an absolute horrible plug, but I will tell you that when I switched over to Humminbird as my fish finder of choice, they have something called Lake Master Charts, which is proprietary software for Humminbird only. And on their Fish Master chart, you can plug in what they call contour highlighting. And I can plug in 20 to 25 feet. So when you're looking at a GPS map on a boat and everything looks blue because it's the water, I can turn Kelly Green into 20 to 25 feet and every single hump on the lake appears.
Oh, boy.
Now the guesswork is out is where the humps are. Now you just got to find the brush.
Yeah, it's such a mistake when people don't understand. I'm fishing top water, but where I'm fishing is 25 feet deep.
That's right. That's right. That's
they come
exactly
up out of 25
right.
25 feet of water for a top water bait.
They are suckers for it this time of year.
Yes, they are.
All right, well, buddy. Well, listen, I'm going to get my coffee, and if anybody wants a cup of coffee, I'm buying this morning at the Dunkin' Donuts here off of McFarland.
Good deal. I hope a lot of people stop by.
Take care, pal.
I'll see you later, my good friend. There we go. That's good. All right, who's been up the longest here? Let's talk to Mark. Mark in Camden County is up next. Good morning, Mark. Where are you headed today, sir?
Well, you caught me just about pulling into the ice machine, but I'm going to go out and catch some king mackerel again today. That's what we do this time of year.
Going after the kings.
Yes, sir. It's been maybe the best year for kingfish I've seen in maybe 40 years.
No kidding. What size are they? And lots of them?
Crazy. Anywhere from school size all the way up to about 50 pounds now.
Wow.
I've been keeping track of the kingfish getting weighed in at the Northeast Florida Shootout, and there's been maybe 3 dozen fish weighed in over 40 pounds this year so far.
Boy,
so it's been really good.
That's a whopper. What are you catching? Are you using trolling artificials? What are you doing?
No, we're all slow culling live baits, usually pogies or menhaden.
Okay. Uh-huh.
And, Spanish sardines, cigar, man, it's depending on where you're fishing. Usually closer in, you'll have pogies. Further out, you'll have sardines and cigar, man, and we'll gold hook them.
Yeah.
But, hog control a little while ago. Do you know where the only piece of National Park Service property is in the United States that you can hunt on?
No.
It's in Camden County, Georgia, of course.
Really?
And, Cumberland Island National Seashore.
Oh, how about that? Yeah, that's been set up for, my goodness, 100 years?
They have deer hunts and they have hog control hunts. That's what got me to thinking about that. You were talking hog control. They actually have a ranger over there that has a full-time job doing nothing but hog control.
That's right, on Ossabaw?
No, on Cumberland Island.
On Cumberland, okay. Well, they have another guy.
It's administered by the National Park Service, and it's the only property they have in the country where you can hunt.
How about that? Well, thank goodness for them. Thank
good,
goodness
good
for them.
Good question, huh?
Yeah, no kidding. All right, have a great
day,
Mark.
I'm going to jump out and hit this ice machine. You have a good weekend.
Mighty fine. Glad you called, pal. There you go. There you are. All right. Let's see. What else do we have here? It's 35 after the hour. Let's quickly, if we can, let's talk to Blake. Blake, I've got 2 minutes. What do you say?
Hey, this is Captain Blake Jones from Lake Oconee. How are you, buddy?
Good, man. How's the fishing there?
Man, the crappie fishing has been off the charts lately, and the striper fishing is just about there, too.
That's a neglected lake. That's some fabulous fishing in Lake Oconee.
It sure is. A lot of people don't realize how many stripers and hybrids we do have down there. And it's our bite's been really good, especially in the evening. If they're generating water, it is phenomenal.
That's one of the keys, isn't it? That generation schedule.
Absolutely. And you can start looking for the pump back bite to start really any day now. That's where I don't know if people know how that they let water out of a Lake Oconee into Lake Sinclair during the day, and then they reverse the dam and push the water back in overnight and early in the morning. And it just creates a feeding frenzy in the mornings down at the dam.
Fantastic. Are you a guide there, Captain?
Yes, sir. I'm a licensed captain. Against the Grain Chartered is the name of my business, atgcharters.com. If anybody wants to go fishing, feel free to check me out.
Hey, call more often, sir. I got to go right now, but call more often, and we'll put you some clients down there and enjoy that good fishing.
Yes, sir. Keep up the good work. Have a good weekend.
You bet. You too, pal. There we go. And 404-872-0750, 800-972-8255. The favorite portion of O'Neill Outside is coming up right after this break. And what is that? Guess? It's the Medal of Honor tribute. We'll be back.
Honor, courage, and strength of character. These qualities are embodied by the recipients of the Medal of Honor. Now let's recognize this week's Medal of Honor recipient on O'Neill Outside.
Robert Maxwell, Army, France, September 1944. Maxwell and three other soldiers, armed only with their .45 caliber handguns, defended the battalion observation post against an overwhelming onslaught by Germany infantrymen in platoon strength supported by 20mm machine gun fire. They had infiltrated through the battalion's forward companies and were attacking the observation post at ranges as close as 10 yards. Despite a hail of fire from the automatic weapons and grenade launchers, Robert aggressively fought off advancing enemy elements and, by his calmness, tenacity, and fortitude, inspired his fellow soldiers to continue the unequaled struggle. Remember, they could have surrendered. When a German hand grenade was thrown into the midst of the squad, Maxwell hurled himself squarely upon it, using his blanket and his unprotected body to absorb the full force of the explosion. This act of instantaneous heroism permanently maimed Robert, but it saved the lives of his comrades in arms and facilitated maintenance of a vital military communications during the temporary withdrawal of the battalion's forward headquarters. Robert Maxwell died May 11th, 2019. He was 98 years old. Robert Maxwell, Medal of Honor recipient. It's 42 after the hour. 404-872-0750-800, 972-8255. This for O'Neill Outside. And here's Andy calling. Let's get right to him. He just now called. Andy, good morning. You're on O'Neill Outside Radio. Welcome to the program.
Good morning, O'Neill. How are you, sir?
Outstanding. And you? You're looking forward to the weekend?
Oh, well, I mean, I work on the weekends, but yeah, it's always a good time.
It's nice to have a job, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. I've got two, as a matter of fact.
There you go.
I had a question about the Alaska cruise.
Okay.
If I was to reserve a room today, which I'd really like to do, when does it come time to pay the piper for that, if it's next summer?
Well, it's about next spring.
Okay. All right. Cool. So we got time to rack up because, you know, working.
Oh, yes.
I had a question. What are your thoughts on a rifle cartridge, the 45-70?
Well, it's a heavy duty round. That's for sure.
Oh yeah. A buddy of mine's got one, and man, I took that thing to a dance up in LJ, and good Lord, I want one.
Yeah, I got you.
Are they good for hunting anything? Can you hunt whitetail with it?
Well, yeah, you can. You know, there's minimums for hunting whitetail, but there aren't any maximums that I know of.
Okay.
So, yes, cool. You can.
All right, well, hey, thanks for doing all you do, brother. I've been listening to you for decades. You and Art Bell were always my favorite radio guys. That's how far back I go, Art Bell. But you and Woman Williams have a good 4th of July. Happy birthday, America, and we'll holler at you later, sir.
My good friend, safe weekend, and keep working hard. And there we go. All right, that's a nice call from Andy. Looks like Andy will be on the cruise with us next year. I certainly do hope. To the Alaskan cruise, and you can find out all about it by visiting O'Neill Outside. Scroll right down to the bottom of the homepage, and you'll find all about the cruise. And if you can possibly put this together, please go with this on this cruise. I guarantee you, it will be one of the most magnificent trips you'll ever take. The ship is made for. Get yourself in there, make a reservation. It's not much money to make that reservation, and you can cancel later if need be. But get in there now because the ship will be full. It's well accommodated. The scenery is beyond description. It really is beyond description. This week I went to Dailane Wildlife Management Area, and the subject was the hog population. And let me give you a little test here, a little instruction. It was great going because these DNR guys are scientists. And so with that in mind, they are interesting and factual, and they don't deal in rumors and camp stories. I enjoyed my time there with the crew at Dailane. It's about 30 miles south of Augusta in the Flat Plains. For instance, what was interesting, one of the things interesting was below Augusta, Georgia, in a line that goes from Augusta to Macon, which is central Georgia, over to Montgomery, Alabama, all the way to Jackson, Mississippi, used to be the coastline. Florida, almost, was completely underwater. And all of South Georgia, South Alabama, South Mississippi used to be, well, it's flat, and it used to be underwater, and that's the reason the soil is so sandy. Anyway, let's give you a little example here of what I learned this week. If you have hog populations in your land lease, your farm, and so on. Say you have two mated pair, male and female, and they will breed and have a litter in 5 months. They'll have anywhere from 7 to 12 offspring. It won't happen, but if they survive, they will breed in another 5 months. And if their offspring all survive, which they won't, but they, in principle, and they breed in another 5 months, that those mated pair, those two, will become 108 hogs in 15 months. While it's great to hunt them, shoot them, to remove them from your property, you can't keep up just by hunting, because by and large the hog is a nocturnal critter. He's a nighttime guy. So it takes more than a man with a rifle to be able to handle that. Okay, it's 48 after the hour. Let's talk now to, let's see, who's been on the longest? Let's talk to Eric. All right, we're going to visit Richard. I think Richard calls from West Virginia. Good morning, Richard. It's 48 after the hour. What's going on? Richard.
Hello?
There you are, Richard.
Hey, no, this is Eric. This isn't Richard.
The wrong guy, but that's okay. Let's talk to Eric then.
Mr. O'Neill, how are you, sir?
Good, good, good. What can I do for you?
Good. I wanted to share the story of Ralph Cooper. He was on USS Truxton with me. This was back in 1992. We served on USS Truxton out of Bremerton, Washington. Ralph Cooper was a full-fledged member of the Crips gang. He was from South Central Los Angeles, yeah. And left there to join the Navy to pretty much save his own life.
Yes.
And to change his life around. He was a good sailor. He was a great friend, but he was hard. You could tell he had, you know, he had the tattoos and all that. I mean, the kid was seriously into the Crips game. He wasn't just, you know, like he wasn't just some poser. You know, he was in first division with me and striked out of first division to become a ship's, you know, like a ship's cook. And we went from the Truxton together to the USS Rainier. And he actually became he actually became personal chef to the ship's, you know, to the ship's captain.
Sounds like he was being successful.
Long story short, he was, you know, he was carrying a huge vat of grease down a ladder well, and he slipped and hit his head and it killed him. It's not, the timeline of our death when we are to go see the Lord, it's not up to us. It is up to us how we go. And he decided to go as a member of the United States Navy, as opposed to a member of some, you know, some dirtbag gang. He was a good man, sir.
It sounds like he made the right choices, didn't he?
Yes, sir. Absolutely, sir. I'm very proud of
you. Thank you for calling, sir.
You're very welcome, man. God bless you.
I'll bet you are. And glad you called.
Thank you very much, sir. Have a good
night. Let's see if I can do this. You bet. All right, let's see. My screen is working here, I think. Now let's talk to, we've got time for this, I believe. Let's talk quickly to Richard in West Virginia. Good morning, Richard.
Good morning there, O'Neill.
Do I have Richard up? Hey, Richard, what do you say, my good friend?
Well, let's see. What I'm going to say, as far as fishing goes, I've heard Mac many times call and talk about scraper fishing, and that sounds like a pretty tight fish. I just wonder if they're just available in certain areas. In other words, in a place like I live here in Wheeling, West Virginia, are they available here where maybe is that a fish you can catch in a river, or is that a pond fish, or where can you go to catch a scraper?
No, a striper is a saltwater fish that spawns in freshwater rivers that reach the coast, that reach salt water. But over the years, over the last 30 years, after they found out that, after the Department of Natural Resources found that they could raise stripers and put them into freshwater lakes, that's how they get there. If you could check with the Department of Natural Resources in West Virginia, I would just bet you that they have put stripers in some of the area lakes. A striper is a true bass, but he does not reproduce in fresh water. He has to be able to go.
Has to be able to go.
Richard, I'm up against a hard break, pal. I always appreciate your call. You always have great subjects, but right now I've got to go. This is O'Neill with O'Neill Outside. We'll be back.
Can I call you then? She said you're around the man. You ain't ever.
Well, another O'Neill Outside on an unused Saturday morning is history. I appreciate you listening to the program, watching it on Facebook, and maybe listening to the podcast later or watching the edited version on Facebook throughout the week. Thank you for participating in the program. We've been at this now for 28 years, and we hope we're performing some kind of a service for you with regards reminders about things to do, not to do, wildlife, fisheries, how to make the outdoors successful. One of the things I want to be sure and include today is, if you take your children on an outdoor outing over the summertime, school is out, be sure and check yourself and them for ticks. They can make you sick. And so be diligent about that with some bug band spray and things of that nature. Only takes a moment and protect yourself from ticks. They are tenacious little critters. So, otherwise, self-promotion, be sure and visit O'NeillOutside.com or O'NeillOutside.net. You can order my book, O'Neill Outside, People and Places Along the Way. I will send it to you. I will personalize it, and I will sign it. And be sure and visit O'Neill Outside, bottom of the homepage, for the Alaskan cruise in the summer of 2020. Go ahead and make your reservations now. I wouldn't say space is running out, but be a part of our group. That is the best cruise I've ever been to, ever. So with that in mind, this is O'Neill Outside, Saturday mornings. And I would urge you to, selflessly, to watch O'Neill Outside. You can see it on Waypoint TV, Carbon TV, My Outdoor TV, Fox Sports Networks across the country, The Hunt Channel, and on ad nauseum. O'Neill Outside with Travis Johnson, and a new season is coming up. This is O'Neill, and you keep this in mind. If you're too busy to go fishing and take a child along, you're too busy. And I hope to see you guys next week. This is O'Neill.
Just an old sweet song keeps Georgia on my mind.
WSBB-FM Doraville, a Cox Media Group station. This is Atlanta.